This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
And welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, so let me tell you what's going on today. Jalen Ramsey might just be the best trash talker in all the NFL. We're going to be talking about what he had to say in the first segment. Second segment, we'll be talking about the NBA MVP odds. I'll give my thoughts on that. Third segment, we will be talking MLB. And then for the fourth segment, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So that's what's going on for today. And, I mean, pretty quiet right now, I say, as far as news and sports. I mean, we had Tiger over the weekend, but we already talked about that. Urban Meyer stuff, investigation still going, nothing really coming out yet. Let's see. I think we've done pretty well, at least for the first couple of weeks, to get past training camp with no top players injured. So, like I said, there's not really much to talk about right now. But, of course, we got things to still go over. So, let's start off with Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey, I think we've all seen over his couple-year career. He thinks he's very good. And yeah, he is. He's the best corner in the league for me. I mean, watching him last year on that defense, it was ridiculous. Jalen Ramsey, without a doubt, the best corner in the league. He got interviewed by GQ. And he was asked about his thoughts on some top picks. So, we're going to go through that. Talk about the quarterbacks that he did have, what he said about them. Were they fair? Or are they not? And I'm going to talk about how much I like this. So yeah, like I said, they asked him basically about his thoughts on some quarterbacks. Let's go through. Josh Allen commented, he's trash. I mean, it's not a very nice thing to say, but it is hilarious. Baker Mayfield, he got how he was the top pick. Lamar Jackson says he's going to be good. Joe Flacco, he sucks. Rodgers doesn't suck. Tom Brady doesn't suck. Tyrod Taylor, underrated. Marcus Mariota, good game manager. Garoppolo, guess he's good. I'm assuming he's saying guess he's good because of the fact that Garoppolo lit him up last year. Watson says he'll be an MVP along with Carson Wentz. Says Jared Goff is average to above average. Dak Prescott says he's okay. Kirk Cousins, he's a winner. I have some thoughts on that one. Says Russell Wilson is good. Roethlisberger is decent at best. That's pretty generous coming from Jalen Ramsey. Obviously, we all think Ben Roethlisberger is a good quarterback. But the Jaguars lit up the Steelers twice last season. For him to still say he's decent, I mean, there's got to be some respect there. Says Odell makes Eli Manning. Yeah, I don't agree with that one. As far as Blake Bortles, his own quarterback, he says, Blake, do what he got to do. That's not necessarily a ringing endorsement, I'd say. Nick Foles, good enough to win the Super Bowl. Thanks, Captain Obvious. Drew Brees says he's really good. Says, doesn't think Andrew Luck is good. Says Matthew Stafford is straight, so Matthew Stafford is good. Tannehill, hasn't heard good things. Matt Ryan, overrated. So, I mean, this guy basically went scorched earth on most of these quarterbacks. For some, he did have nice words to say, like Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson. Russell Wilson, he said, was good. Says Kirk Cousins was a winner. I mean, he won himself a nice big contract, if maybe that's what he's talking about. But over at Washington, I mean, what did Kirk Cousins ever really win? Nothing at all. I mean, Kirk Cousins basically finessed his way to becoming one of the highest paid quarterbacks as far as guaranteed money. And honestly, like, what has Kirk Cousins done to warrant that? I mean, they only went to the playoffs once with him, didn't do anything. And other than that, I mean, it's been a couple of 7-9 seasons. I mean, I'd say that he's not one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. I've never really understood that. Why Kirk Cousins? Like, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. I'm not saying he's not. But what has he done to, I guess, regard, like, get the hype? I'm not sure. But I'm all for players talking trash. I have no problem with it whatsoever. I know there's going to be fans out there saying, oh, no respect, no class, yada, yada, yada. But honestly, this is good for the NFL. We need more of this rather than just the basic cookie-cutter answers. And it's crazy because we get these cookie-cutter robot answers from these NFL players. Media, people will complain, oh, I wish these guys would give actual answers and just give their true thoughts. Guys like Jalen Ramsey do it, and then they'll get crushed for it. I mean, what sense does that make? But Jalen Ramsey's a guy who doesn't seem to care much. I mean, called out the local media over in Jacksonville. He got suspended a week for that in preseason. And getting suspended a week in preseason, that's got to be a vacation. That's not even a suspension. Like, the coaches got to know that if we suspend Jalen Ramsey, he has no problem with it whatsoever. Or at least I'm assuming he doesn't. Seems like no NFL player loves training camp. That's why Brett Favre retired so many times. But like I said, I'm all for the trash talking here. Some feelings might be hurt. Some players might not like what he said. It's going to be talked about on these NFL shows. But either way, this is good. We need more of this. The NBA, they show their true selves a bit more. The NFL, they've been trained to be robots. We need more players like Jalen Ramsey. So let's go down the line about the quarterbacks he talked about, and I'll give my thoughts on them. So starting with Josh Allen, like I said, Jalen Ramsey said he's trash. I think Josh Allen is not that good right now, but he's more so a project. The guy's not very accurate. I mean, the best part about he's Jamarcus Russell. Jamarcus Russell had talent. I'm not saying that Josh Allen's going to be a bust like him. I'm just basically saying they're similar. Jamarcus Russell coming into the draft was known for his huge arm. The fact that he could throw the ball all the way down the field. What was it, like 90 yards from his knees down the field? Josh Allen coming in. Talk about his rocket arm. There's nothing really else about Josh Allen that stands out. So, not great, but could develop into something possibly. Baker Mayfield, he didn't really say anything about his play, neither Lamar Jackson. Joe Flacco, he said he sucks. I don't think Joe Flacco sucks. I just think he's not as good anymore. And I don't know. Maybe that's what I mean. I mean the same thing as Jalen Ramsey, except I can't just say Joe Flacco sucks. But
I mean, last 3 years, I'd say Flacco hasn't really been great. And I mean, there's been no fight with this Ravens team. Aaron Rodgers says he doesn't suck. I agree. Tom Brady says he doesn't suck. I agree. I agree completely with him saying that Tyrod Taylor is underrated. I'm glad someone else sees it. I mean, I don't understand why he's so rated so low, Tyrod Taylor, amongst NFL analysts and all that. Mariota, good game manager. I agree with that. Marcus Mariota doesn't really do anything that like stands out at you big time, but he's going to keep you in a game and he's going to do well to control the offense and all that. So I agree with that. Garoppolo, guess he's good. I think Jimmy G is good. I just want to see him play a full season, finally. I mean, he's, what, 8-0, 7-0 in his 7 or 8 starts? It's going to be interesting to see how well he looks with this 49er offense coming in. I mean, added McKinnon. They just added Alfred Morris, too. I like that pickup right there. I mean, honestly, I think Alfred Morris is better than McKinnon and that Matt Breida guy that they got. So we'll see how many snaps Morris ends up getting, but I definitely like them picking him up. Let's see. Deshaun Watson will be an MVP. I think the Texans are probably going to be a team that wins the Super Bowl within the next 5 years, just given the fact that, I mean, Watson looked good at quarterback last year, and if their guys are able to stay healthy, why not? Says Carson Wentz will also be an MVP. I mean, would have won it last year if he didn't end up tearing his knee. Goff above average, or average to above average. I think Jared Goff is eventually going to become a good quarterback. Last season was a good step up compared to his first. But I think he's got a couple more years to go before he's regarded as maybe a top 10 quarterback. But I do like the way he plays. Dak Prescott, he's okay. That's pretty much it right there. Dak Prescott is basically Alex Smith back in San Francisco. Not going to take too many chances, dink and dunk type of guy. And Dak Prescott really doesn't move the needle as far as being a quarterback. He's a pretty, he's an average quarterback, I'd say. Kirk Cousins, he's a winner. I disagree with that. Like I said, what has Kirk Cousins won? Russell Wilson says he's good. I think Russell Wilson's a top five quarterback, and the only way this Seahawks team ends up being competitive this season is if Russell Wilson ends up saving them there. Ben Roethlisberger, decent at best. I think it's a bit harsh. Again, these are through Jalen Ramsey's eyes, so it's a bit different. But I think Ben Roethlisberger is still a top 10 quarterback. Not sure if he's top 5 anymore, but I mean, he's still one of the best to do it, at least in the league right now. Eli Manning, how about we put some respect on his name? Odell Beckham does not make him. All right, Eli got his 2 Super Bowls before that. Eli was top 10 in passing yards and touchdowns before that. So let's pump the brakes a bit. And like I said, let's start giving Eli Manning his respect. I don't really have any thoughts about Nick Foles. He's a backup quarterback. Drew Brees, obviously, yes, he is really good. Not as good as he used to be, but a very good quarterback. Doesn't think Andrew Luck is good. That's preposterous. I mean, anyone who's watched Andrew Luck knows that Andrew Luck knows how to play quarterback at a high level. Stafford, think he's a good quarterback. Tannehill, I mean, yeah, haven't heard good things. I mean, he's been off and on, inconsistent over his career. And Matt Ryan being overrated, I get Ramsey's point. Ramsey's point was basically when Shanahan was there, Ryan looked great. When Shanahan leaves, Ryan looks eh. And he says he looked terrible with Julio Jones. I get it. I wouldn't say Matt Ryan is overrated, though. I just think it was all Steve Sarkisian last year. So, like I said, I like the fact that Jalen Ramsey's speaking his mind here. It's hilarious. It's interesting. And it's something new. So, I have no problem with it, nor should you. But people are going to have their own opinions about it. So, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking NBA stuff. So, stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about Jalen Ramsey's comments about some quarterbacks. And I gave my thoughts on those same quarterbacks too. Me and Jalen Ramsey agreed on a few, also disagreed on a couple. So there's that. Now we move on. And we talk NBA MVP odds. Odds recently got released by Bovada out from Vegas. And top five, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Giannis, James Harden, Kevin Durant. That's followed by Kawhi, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons. So, I mean, looking at this top five, where you got LeBron and all those guys, LeBron should be the favorite to win MVP this season. That's a no-brainer. And, I mean, the only reason why that's really a no-brainer is because of the fact that, I mean, if LeBron gets his Lakers team to be a 3 or 2 seed, of course he deserves to be the MVP. This team won 35 games last season. They added a bunch of role players who have seemingly become, I'd say, misfits over the course of their career. I mean, JaVale McGee, has gone team to team. Lance Stephenson seems to be like a guy who, yeah, he's good to have on your team, but you don't want to keep him there for too long. Because then Lance's magic eventually turns into a problem because, I mean, he's a bit of a distraction. Then you got Rondo. Rondo's still a good basketball player, I'd say. But Rondo, since he's left Boston, hasn't been able to stick with one team. I mean, he went to the Mavericks after he got when he got traded. That obviously was a disaster. Then he headed over to Sacramento, I believe. That was cool for a season. Then he's over with Chicago. They did pretty well in the playoffs until he got hurt. And then he heads over to New Orleans to become a Pelican. Actually did pretty well this season, but I mean, it seems like New Orleans maybe didn't want to keep him around long term. Obviously, season is what, 32? So, I mean, a lot of the guys they brought on are guys who haven't been able to stick around. And if you can't stick around, then there's obviously a reason why. You got guys like Kyle Kuzma, who did well last season, averaged, what, near 20, I think it was. Brandon Ingram, near the same, about 15 to 20. Don't remember exactly off the top of my head. You got Lonzo, can't shoot the ball to save his life, but does pretty much everything else well. But I'd say even that you take LeBron off this team, they're not a playoff team. I mean, maybe they compete for an eighth seed. So the fact that you had LeBron here and he instantly makes him a playoff team, if he could get him to the two seed or the three seed, then yeah, deserves MVP. So I have no problem with LeBron being up there. Same with Anthony Davis. I mean, Anthony Davis is on a team where he's got to be the guy if they're going to get to the playoffs. Anthony Davis gets these guys to the 4-3 seed. Yeah, he's in serious consideration for the MVP award. Then we get to Giannis. Same thing with him. Milwaukee needs a guy like Giannis. And this is why these are the top three guys in the MVP odds. Why? Because their teams depend on them the most. Because you move over, you got James Harden, who's fourth the highest odds. I mean, he's got Chris Paul there. They just added Melo. It's going to be tough for a guy like James Harden to win it. And same with Kevin Durant. I don't think Kevin Durant would have to go out and average over 30 points, I think, to win MVP. Like, he just would have to have an out-of-this-world type of season. Why? Because he plays with the greatest shooter of all time. Plays with, you can maybe argue, the second greatest shooter of all time. And a year after your All-Star in Draymond Green. So, I mean, it's tough for a guy like KD to win it. He's got to do and be extraordinary. Then you got Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard could win the MVP with the Toronto Raptors. That's actually, Kawhi Leonard comes back and he's perfectly fine, then I don't see why not. I mean, I think we can all agree this Raptors team did get better over the offseason. Of course, it might have been a harsh move to trade DeMar DeRozan, given he wanted to stay there. Not too many players who have ever come to Toronto wanted to, like, willingly stay there. But you trade him over, get Kawhi Leonard. I mean, yeah, you got Kyle Lowry there, but we all know whose team it is now. We all know who the big man on campus is for that team, and it is Kawhi Leonard. Say Kawhi Leonard goes out, averages 25-28, Raptors end up finishing first. Why not there? Then you got Russell Westbrook. I mean, Russell Westbrook any year can win an MVP. Let's just be real here. The only reason why he probably hasn't won multiple is because of team success. His team usually doesn't finish high enough in the West in order for him to get an MVP. Except for that one year, but where they finished sixth, I think it was. But he had to get a triple-double in order to win that MVP. Russell Westbrook puts up stats like no other. I mean, it's ridiculous. The dude puts up a near, well, average, he's averaged a triple-double the last two seasons. If he could do that on a number two seed, number one seed possibly, dude would be winning MVPs like it was nobody's business. So, Russell Westbrook, I mean, maybe Russell Westbrook should be higher than Kevin Durant. If we're being honest here. Like I said, the guy's a stat machine. Just needs the team success. Then you got Steph Curry after Westbrook. He's got to have a year like that one where he won unanimous MVP, I think, to ever win another one. I mean, he's got the same problem as Kevin Durant. His team's too good. And you might be thinking, oh, but you said maybe Russell Westbrook needs to be a number one seed or whatever to win the MVP. Yeah, Russell Westbrook is the number one guy on his team. The team doesn't work out without him. But with the Warriors, you could take a Steph off. I'm sure they'd still be successful. You could take KD off. I'm sure they'd still be successful. And you got Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, I don't really see him. Actually, the Sixers were to finish with the one seed, and Embiid goes for about maybe 28 and like 13 or something like that. It's possible. I'm trying to think off the top of my head the last center to win MVP. Let me look at the last few MVP winners. Because, I mean, like I said, centers don't necessarily, they're not the pretty position. They never have been. So let's see. We'll start off last year. Last year was obviously James Harden. Then you had Russell Westbrook. Steph won it 2 years in a row before that. KD, LeBron, Derrick Rose, LeBron twice again, Kobe, Dirk. So I'd say, I guess, I mean, the last center, true center, was Shaq back in 1999. I mean, you've had Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett win it there, Dirk, but I consider those guys power forwards. So Shaq has won it. David Robinson won it back in 94. Hakeem Olajuwon won in 93. So the MVP award hasn't really been too great for centers. I mean, at least up until after, I'd say, 82 with Moses Malone winning it. Since then, like I said, it's only been Hakeem, David Robinson, and Shaq that have won the MVP as a center. I mean, you want to go back to the 70s and 60s, sure, you're going to have all kinds of centers winning it because of the fact that those dudes were towering over the guys they were playing against. I mean, Bill Russell won it about, what, 5 times? Will Chamberlain won it a couple times? Willis Reed won his MVP? Kareem? Dave Cowens? So, Bill Walton also? So, yeah. As far as MVPs and centers, maybe if Joel Embiid was playing the 70s, sure. Now, it's going to be tough. Kyrie, I could see him winning it, but he would have to average at least like 27. And that would be, that would be tough given that you got Jason Tatum there who pretty much erupted in the playoffs and now everyone's got their eye on him. You also got Gordon Hayward there, Jaylen Brown. So it's tough for a guy like Kyrie Irving to win it. Ben Simmons, I'd say, is pretty low on this list. I mean, he's got, his odds are right behind Kyrie Irving's. And I'd say that maybe he should be above Joel Embiid, should be above Steph and Russell Westbrook. Ben Simmons, I mean, last year everyone was raving about him. Dude was putting up points, rebounds, assists. I mean, can't shoot the ball, but nonetheless was still scoring about 15 a game. Running point guard for this team. I mean, we've all talked about Ben Simmons being one of the best prospects since LeBron. I mean, the dude looked amazing last year and everyone loved him. Let's say he maybe scores a little bit more, shoots a tiny bit better. Still putting up big assist numbers and rebounding numbers. Why not him? Especially if they finish first. I'd say right now, if I had to pick between Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, if one of them was going to be an MVP, it'd be Ben Simmons. Then you got guys like Damian Lillard, Karl Anthony Towns, DeMar DeRozan, John Wall, Jimmy Butler, Donovan Mitchell, Nikola Jokic. Guys who aren't going to win MVP. I'd say the ones with the realistic chances, I guess, are everyone up until after Ben Simmons. So, we'll see. I'd say my pick to win MVP this year has got to be, I'd say LeBron. Like I said, I mean, that Lakers team isn't necessarily great around him. You got some good players, but, I mean, if he gets these guys to be in a number 3 seed or 2 seed, LeBron just has a LeBron-type year. Yeah, of course he could win MVP. So I'd say, yeah, LeBron is my pick there. But I wouldn't necessarily sleep on Kevin Durant either. He could go out in a rep for like a 35-point season if he wanted to. So, I mean, I'd say LeBron is my, or Kevin Durant's my second favorite to win MVP. So, we'll see what ends up happening. Still got, about 50 or so days till the season starts, I think. So, we'll have to wait and see. But either way, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we will be talking some MLB, so stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we have talked Jalen Ramsey, MVP odds for the NBA, and now we move on to the MLB. Dodgers and Giants playing yesterday, one of the better rivalries in baseball. But the whole point of this is that Yasiel Puig and Giants catcher Nick Hundley got into it yesterday. I mean, I like Puig. Puig is not the most popular man in the MLB, I'd say. But I think Puig is good for baseball. I really do. Baseball is the one get-off-my-lawn type sport where, meaning the old man yelling at you not to touch his grass or anything like that. It's just grass. It'll be fine. Baseball doesn't really like change, at least the fans who have been around for a while. There's a certain way they like to see the game played, the unwritten rules, all that. But I'd say that baseball is better when you got guys like Yasiel Puig and all that doing their little antics. Why? Because it's entertaining. Bat flips are okay. But either way, this isn't like a Yasiel Puig segment. More so, I just wanted to talk about the brawl that they had. And it wasn't like a big brawl or anything like that, but it's good to see the rivalry amongst the Giants and Dodgers is alive and well. Obviously, one team is doing much better than the other. Giants, I mean, figured if they signed the couple of 2012 All-Stars, they'd make it back to the top. That obviously wasn't the case. Shocker there. I think it's been years since their bullpen has looked good. I mean, they're still looking for a closer, which is ridiculous. But either way, I mean, looking at the Dodgers, obviously we saw them trade for Manny Machado at the trade deadline. They're trying to win something bigger this year. Last year they ended up losing to the Astros in the World Series. And this year, I mean, if they're going to make it there, they're probably going to have to end up playing the Astros again. Either the Red Hot Red Sox or even possibly the Yankees. I mean, dare it even happen, possibly the Oakland A's. Now, I didn't get a chance to check out the A's game yesterday. Saw a couple of highlights, but it seemed like they did do well a tiny bit as far as putting butts in the seats. Let me see if I could possibly find out how many people ended up showing up to that game. See if that information is readily available to me right now. But either way, I think the A's did end up winning. Matt Chapman seems to be a folk hero over in the Bay Area. I mean, he's got to be probably the best, most exciting player in the Bay Area right now. I mean, you got guys like Bumgarner and all that over in San Francisco. But either way, I mean, Matt Chapman is a younger player who does have a great future ahead of him. It turns out only 17,000 showed up to the A's game. It's 35,000 capacity. I mean, that's not great at all. And chances are it was more like 12,000 probably. I'm sure, like I said, owners buy a whole bunch of tickets. I mean, we talked about this yesterday, but how are you not going to the game where it's A's versus Mariners? Mariners are right behind your team for the wild card. And this is also a game where it put you only one game behind the Houston Astros for the AL West lead. But you're not going to show up. Now, like I said, I get the whole point of it's basically them standing up against ownership, given that, I mean, every great player ends up getting traded somewhere else. There's a point where A's fans got to realize they're not going to enjoy this too often. The A's aren't a team to be built, aren't a team built to be good enough year after year like a Red Sox or Yankees type team. They, whether or not they have the money is irrelevant. They just choose not to spend whatever's there. So, I mean, I figured you'd want to show up, but that doesn't seem like it's really happening. And speaking of the Astros, I'm not really sure what's going on with them right now. I mean, it's a bit ridiculous. I wouldn't call it a collapse yet, but they've lost 5 in a row. That's a bit of a problem, wouldn't you say? Yes, I would say that. I mean, looking at them yesterday, they ended up losing to the Rockies 5-1. Only had 3 hits in that one. Verlander got the loss there. I mean, Astros might end up having to play the Yankees in the wild card game. I don't think either team wants to do that. Just given, I mean, both teams might be, I don't know. I'm not going to say teams are afraid of each other, but it's just a point where you do want to play a team like Oakland. You do want to play a team like Seattle. And, I mean, Verlander pitched well yesterday. Went 6 innings, only 2 earned runs, 11 strikeouts. It's just They gave up run after run. That's three runs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. Well, one each. That bullpen. Obviously, you're not going to win doing that. But, I mean, you're scoring one run. Chances are you're not going to win either. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what ends up happening as far as the AL West divisional race. Are the A's going to take that over? Or the Astros going to be able to stay in that spot? I mean, yesterday you had Carlos Correa. He went 0-for-4. I mean, the top four of their lineup didn't get a hit. Josh Reddick got one. Uriel got one. And then you had Gonzalez who got one. Basically, the 5, 6, and 7 guys after Carlos Correa. So, Astros really got to pick it up here. You don't need me to tell you that. But this A's team does not seem to be losing at all. Right now, they're kind of playing like the Red Sox where, I mean, you just can't simply beat this team no matter how hard you try. So let's take the scores from yesterday. We had the Brewers beating the Cubs 7-0. Orioles beating the Mets 6-3. Yankees beating the Rays 4-1. J.A. Happ pitched well once again. Red Sox beat the Phillies 2-1. Rick Porcello, I'm not sure really what's gotten into him the last couple of games, but the dude has been lights out, pitching like how he did his Cy Young year. White Sox beat the Tigers 6-3. Indians beat the Reds 8-1. You had the Braves beating the Marlins 10-6. I believe Ronald Acuna Jr. has homered in 5 straight games. This Braves team is extremely young. I figured they were going to be a team who, it wasn't this year where they were going to break out, but more so next couple of years. And, I mean, it seems like they've gotten it done early and they're playing really well. Up at the top in the NL East, you had the Diamondbacks beating the Rangers 6-4. Twins beating the Pirates 5-2. Like I said, Rockies beat the Astros 5-1. Blue Jays beat the Royals 6-5. You had the Cardinals beating the Nationals 6-4. Like I said, A's beating the Mariners 3-2. Giants beat the Dodgers yesterday 2-1. Like I said, nice little fight going on in that game between Hundley and Puig. And then you had the Angels beating the Padres 7-3 there. Let's take a look at the standings over in the MLB and see who is where. So while in the AL East, I think we could all say that that little divisional race is over. Yankees are 10 games back. Second best record in the league, but nonetheless 10 games back of the Red Sox. Indians, they won that division when the season started. Astros, like I said, only a game up on the A's right now. A's currently 72-48. Astros 73-47. And the Mariners are still only really 4.5 games back. And at least, you got the Braves up 2 games on the Phillies. Cubs up 2 games on the Brewers. 4 games up on the Cardinals. Do not sleep on the Cardinals. I'm not saying they're going to win the NL Central, but I could see them sneaking up into the wild card spot. Given how well Matt Carpenter has been playing. Dude's been hitting home runs like it's no one's business. Diamondbacks currently a game up on the Colorado Rockies in the NL West. 2 games up on the Dodgers and 5 games up on the Giants. NL West not as good as I thought it would be this season. So looking at the American League wildcard standings, Yankees currently maintain that number one spot. Don't think they'll be giving that up. They're 3.5 games up on the A's. A's, like I said, hold that second spot. Not sure for how long given they're right behind the Astros for that divisional lead. Mariners 3.5 back of the A's there. Then we move on to the NL wildcard race. Brewers maintain that number one spot, a game up on the Phillies for that spot. The Phillies currently 1 game up on the Cardinals for the second wildcard spot. Did not realize the Cardinals had jumped that high. I mean, we've been monitoring the standings and all that, but it's kind of like the Cardinals just snuck up. Here they are. I mean, firing Mac Matheny earlier on in the season, I think maybe might have helped, giving this team a little rejuvenation there. Rockies 1.5 games back of the Phillies. Dodgers 2.5 back. And then you got the Pirates and Giants 5 and 5.5 games back, respectively, there. Don't expect either of them to make the playoffs. I think it's more so a race between the Phillies, Cardinals, Rockies, Dodgers, and obviously the Brewers for those two wildcard spots. So we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, baseball season, still got another month. Actually got another month and a half, I should say. So Cardinals could end up taking one of those wildcard spots, and we could see a team like the Phillies or Brewers possibly fall out of there. So like I said, we'll see what ends up happening. Let's see, anything else going on in the world of baseball? I think that's pretty much it, so we'll wrap it up here. Next up, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports, so stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we've talked Jalen Ramsey. We have talked MVP odds in the NBA. And then in that last segment, we talked about some MLB stuff. Now we move on and we talk about anything else going on in the world of sports. So, let's see what else is going on. Actually, you know what? I'm not sure if it's Hard Knocks, but it seems like there's been a lot of... How do you say, actually the word what I'm trying to say here is, it doesn't seem like the Browns are really on the same page. And that's a problem. Browns got all the talent on the world in that team, but I mean, if they're not on the same page, this team's going to struggle. And like I said, I'm not sure if it's Hard Knocks, but if you've been watching, I didn't get a chance to catch the second episode yesterday, but I saw some articles come out, not about Hard Knocks necessarily, but more so articles about Todd Haley. No matter what, he's got Hugh Jackson's back 100%. We're seeing articles like that, and it's like the end of training camp right here. That's not good. The fact that it even needs to be addressed is a problem. And like I said, I'm not sure if it's necessarily Hard Knocks, because I mean, this could be like, if you've been watching Hard Knocks, you see that ABA doesn't seem Greg Williams, Todd Haley, and Hugh Jackson are all a happy family. You could tell, like I said, they're not on the same page there. At least that's what it seems. Maybe it's just a point where we don't really see it in front of our eyes, but maybe this is possibly something that happens across all NFL teams. I don't necessarily think it is, but like I said, maybe I'm just trying to fish for an excuse there. But that's one thing the Browns got to change first and foremost before they even think about winning anything, is the culture. That team has been full of, I don't want to, seem might be harsh, but losers for about 20 years. Meaning any player or whatever they brought in, like, it's just, they've just all collaborated to lose. I mean, it's been a losing culture for a long time. And it just seems like that losing culture and basically lackadaisical culture is still there, if you've been watching. And this team with these players could go 0-16 again. It doesn't matter how good they are if the culture isn't fixed up. I mean, we saw Jarvis Landry in episode 1. Talking about how it needed to be changed. People needed to be practicing. Hugh Jackson doesn't necessarily agree with that sentiment. And we're talking about guys like Duke Johnson, who have basically been hurt a lot to start their career. So now they got pretty much set off days. Hugh does that because he's basically trying to prevent injury. Sounds nice on the surface, but how are you supposed to get acclimated with each other if you got certain guys who aren't practicing as much? That is a bit of a problem, isn't it? So, as good as the Browns are and as good as I want them to be, I mean, can you really depend on this team right now? No. I didn't really think too much about team cultures and all that until I like saw right here, oh yeah, this is bad. I mean, none of those guys are on the same page. And like I said, the fact that Todd Haley's got to address it is a problem already in itself. I mean, like I said, it's just Hard Knocks. But from what I've seen, I really don't think this Browns team is going to do too well. It's just the 20 years of losing and all that is still there. That hasn't changed yet. So we'll see if they're able to change up the culture there. We'll see if they end up, how do you say, fixing it, I guess. And it's going to be interesting, but, I mean, it's going to take a while. So we'll see what ends up happening with the Browns. I mean, the Browns have never really been a model franchise, have they? No, they have not. Kyle Kuzma talked the other day, said that he feels that everyone's underrating the Lakers and underestimating them. I don't think anyone's underestimating the Lakers. I think all the points I've seen about them so far have been fair. I think if you got them as a second, two, or three seed, you're a bit overrating them. If you've got them as an 8, 7, 6 seed, that's a bit of an underrating there. But I'd say 4, 5, 6, I'd say, is where they're going to be. And that's where I've been seeing everyone say they're going to be. I mean, Kyle Kuzma realizes that they only won 35 games last year. Like I said, you brought on role players who seemingly have been misfits throughout their careers. Rondo was the only one who really had an established team where he excelled, and that was the Celtics. Once they got rid of him, the dude's been bouncing team to team. Lance Stevenson's first stint with the Pacers was good, but since then, like I said, he's also bounced from team to team. JaVale McGee, same with him. So, I mean, I don't think it's really anyone underestimating the Lakers, but more so just rating them where they should be rated. I mean, can you honestly say that the Lakers are a team who could challenge the Warriors in the West? No, you'd be crazy to say that. The Rockets? I don't even put them up there. Maybe a Jazz team, possibly. Yeah, I'd say they're on level with the Jazz. I guess the Jazz is the third best team in the West. I'm not necessarily saying the Lakers would beat the Jazz either. So, I don't think anyone's really underestimating the Lakers. It's just more so, they're just not a great team. They're a good team, but they're not great. That's fine. Maybe Brandon Ingram has a nice little breakout season where he starts turning into a superstar. Maybe that's Kuzma. And if the Lakers want to do anything, that's got to be the case. Someone has to turn into that second superstar. In the NBA now, you don't win anything unless you got at least two stars. Lakers don't have two stars. They got LeBron and then other guys. The Warriors got four stars. Celtics got a few. The Raptors got two. The Rockets got two. Thunder got two. Jazz just have an overall, just a great all-around team, so that helps them there. But like I said, the Jazz haven't really won anything either. So, we'll see what ends up happening with this Lakers team. And speaking of superstars and teams and all that, CJ McCollum was asked if he could ever join a team like the Warriors. He says, though, CJ McCollum's whole thing here is basically the competitiveness. I mean, it wouldn't be fair. That's not the way he was raised and all that. And it seems that Warriors Twitter and Warriors fans and a couple of other, I guess, fan groups have basically lost their minds about it. People act like CJ McCollum is the one who keeps talking about the Warriors. If the guy gets asked questions about it, he's going to answer it. Get mad at the reporters who continuously ask him about the same thing over and over and over. Honestly, I've seen CJ McCollum's thoughts on the Warriors about 10 different times. It's not CJ's fault. It's the fact that he keeps getting asked this question. Come up with something original rather than doing the same mumbo jumbo that you could talk about in an article for about 400 words. Do better. How about that one? Rather than continuously trying to stir stuff up. We get it. CJ McCollum doesn't want to play for the Warriors. Ask him something else. I mean, it's ridiculous. Let's see what else is currently going on in the world of sports. Heading over to the CFL, Johnny Manziel going to be missing his next start. It's looking like he's in the concussion protocol, I saw. Johnny Manziel's start in the CFL hasn't been a hot one. But of course, I mean, the guy's only, what, 25, 26? He's still got time. It's not time to give up on Johnny Football yet, but like I said, things could have been better to start off with his new CFL team. Let's see. I think we already talked about the Clippers dropping Bruce Bowen because of his Kawhi comments. I still don't understand that. I mean, it's a bit ridiculous. Kawhi doesn't even play for your team, and you're firing your TV guy because he said Kawhi was making excuses when in reality it's the truth. I mean, just move to Seattle already and be done with it. That's what the Clippers need to do. See, anything else going on before we wrap up? We got Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid currently playing in the UEFA Super Cup. That's currently tied 2-2. Sergio Ramos scored a penalty. Diego Costa scored twice. And you had Benzema scoring also. So, been a real exciting game. And I'm curious to see what the new era of Real Madrid looks like without Cristiano Ronaldo. You had Sergio Ramos saying the other day about it, that no one is bigger than Madrid, and that's true. So that's all I got to say about that. We're going to wrap it up here for today. Today we talked Jalen Ramsey. We talked MLB, NBA, and then for this segment, anything else going on in the world of sports. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.